about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO. Currently, it is 47 degrees with a wind chill of 41. The winds are out of the southwest at 15 miles an hour, gusting up to 18 miles an hour. Well, I have an awesome show for you guys today. Back on the show today, by popular demand, is the fabulous, the beautiful, the bestest meteorologist in Oklahoma, Lacey Swope from Channel 9 Weather. Oh, yes, and an expecting mother, the news broke today. Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, so excited. It's been a long time coming, and I'm pumped to finally be able to share with everybody.
Oh, good. Yeah, you sent me that text this morning. I'm so lame. My cards didn't come in before Christmas, and I'm texting them to everybody. I understand. You had a reason for being late.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm hearing, can you hear an echo? It's just me.
Do I now?
Do you hear an echo, or is it just me?
Do you hear one?
I hear a bad one, yes.
Bad one?
I hear myself twice, and that's not good.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me change something up here real quick.
It may be on my end. I just don't want you to have to hear me twice.
Nope. Hang on. No, I got it. I got everything right. Are you still hearing it?
Oh, and it's probably just me.
Okay. You want me to call you back?
Well, you want to try to call me back real quick?
Yeah. Hang on. Everybody just okay. Be patient. Lacey's having technical difficulties on her end. I'm going to call her right back. Everybody hang tight. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're calling Lacey back so she can hear. There we go. How's that? All right, hang on. All right, is that any better? Lacey? Hello? Oh, Lacey, you there? I've lost her.
Oh, Jimmy?
There we are. Is that better?
Yes, are we good?
Yes, we're good. Sorry.
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, it's all right. Because we want you to have a good time during the our conversation. So, anyway, June's the big D-date.
Yes, that is the due date. So, late June, and, I mean, that means May is going to be very exciting. I'll be like a beached whale during tornado season, and I'm pumped for that. Very excited.
I never thought about that. I was thinking hunting and fishing season. You're thinking about tornado season.
Well, Claire already went through that. My hunting season was kind of a wash because I have been incredibly sick. I mean, incredibly sick. And so, which is a good thing. It's so weird to be so sick and then for it to be positive. The sicker you are, sometimes that means, you know, a healthy pregnancy, depending. So far, everything's been healthy, which means now we just get to look down the road and, you know, take it one day at a time and see what comes. But every day has been such a blessing. It's been awesome to watch this baby grow. And then just to watch Brooklyn, to watch her response. She doesn't fully understand that she's going to be a big sister, but she knows there's something in mommy's tummy because we go to the doctor and she gets to see it. And she thinks that's so fun. There's a baby in there.
Oh, I can just imagine because Brooklyn's so cute and so smart.
Oh, thank you.
And she's just going to be another Lacey Jr., if you want to call it that.
So, oh, my gosh.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Well, you've been busy because I've had a month or so ago when you said, hey, I got it. I got a doctor's appointment. I can't change it. I thought, something's up.
Why?
Something's yes, up.
I have had lots of doctor's appointments. I have had lots of doctor's appointments. All good, though. And I have just been incredibly sick. But that's all behind me now at this point and to the good side of things now.
Oh, well, that's what happens on air when you get that feeling you're going to be sick? Does somebody cover you or do they just go to break?
No, I just have to hold it. You just hold it in, and then I become extremely short of breath. I can barely finish. There have been so many times that 9 o'clock newscast was the worst. For some reason, it's like the sickness would really start to come on about 7. By 9 o'clock, I was just miserable. And, I mean, I just have to get through it by fake it till you make it, you know? Just
well,
stand up there and know I got 3 or 4 minutes that I have to talk, and then I'll get to go run to the bathroom and... That's what I did for 3 months.
FYI, that's why they call it morning sickness.
Exactly. But that's kind of a lie, because then you just kind of feel like crap all day.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, I don't know. It's such a gift. And so it's so crazy to feel, like I said, feel so sick and be head to toe miserable, yet be so excited at the same time. If there's nothing else like it, you know?
Oh, well, I'm so super excited for you and Tyler and the little one. And I really am. I'm super excited for you guys because you guys are great people. And, you know, it just, what can I say? And you're Oklahoma's beloved lady of weather. So anyway, so everybody's going to be super happy for you and are already probably seen on social media, Lacey Lowry. Anyway, so she's already pumping it. She's going to be, be the new... Is Brooklyn call her auntie, or is that just...
She should. She's like an aunt to her.
Yeah.
She just calls her Wacy.
Oh, well, cool. Well, there, so... Yeah, so you've had a little different holiday, you know, being sick and pregnant and all this exciting news, and he's holding it back.
Yes, it was different. I mean, Thanksgiving was, I don't even think I ate much at all. And I mean, Thanksgiving is my holiday. I love the food. I love the pies. I love, you know, cooking all of it. And I mean, the smell of everything made me sick. But it's just one of those things that you grin and bear it, you know. The holiday was kind of non-existent. By Christmas, I was already feeling somewhat better. And then this week has been just night and day, feeling tons better, finally
great.
Able to eat and then be able to get out and do stuff. And I've been a recluse. I'm telling you, I haven't seen the light of day, and I really haven't hunted. I've talked about how I haven't had time to hunt. Well, I haven't had time to hunt because I've been so sick at home. But I just would go to work and come home, and that's my day. That's all I would do.
Well, you have an excuse.
I have had an excuse.
Oh, the text line just lit up. Lieutenant James, he says, aww, congratulations to Lacey, Tyler, and Brooklyn.
Oh, he is so nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well,
thank you. I have had, it's funny because I found out in October. So in November, I started getting viewer questions like crazy, asking if I was pregnant already in November. And they've been nonstop since, to the point to where there's nothing I could do on social media to where I wouldn't have multiple people ask me. People were calling the station like crazy. And then some people were just flat out annoyed. They're like, I know she's pregnant. I can tell. Like, she has to tell us.
You have no clue.
I'm like, I totally understand. I'm not pretending you can't tell. It's very obvious. At the same time, I just wasn't ready. I can't explain it. I just wanted, I don't know, I can't explain it. When I was ready, I was going to be ready, and I was ready today. So.
Well, I had listeners asking me, and people, my friends asking me, hey, is Lacey expecting again? I look at them like, how would I know, you know? And well, you're friends with her. I said, well, there's some things friends don't share with each other, and this is one of them. So
I didn't tell my family, my immediate close family, for a long time, and they could all tell. And they're like, we just knew when you were ready, you'd say it. So,
oh, you didn't have one of these big.
That's kind of how it goes.
I mean, you didn't do this out in the backyard and boom, with these little things flying and all that stuff.
That is, could not be further from me and my husband's personality. Yeah, I think it's pretty, so great that people
pretty much.
Do that.
Yeah, now that you say that, that's you.
I never, never done that, and we may not find out the gender. We may wait. We're debating on that. I go back and forth on what I want to do. I think it'd be kind of cool to not know, but we'll find out.
My vote is not to find out.
Yeah, I've had advice from a lot of people, and I think that's pretty good advice.
Yeah, I don't know. The excitement of knowing whether it's a girl or a boy. You know, back when my three kids was born, we didn't have this deal of finding out. And so, you know, it was like we had bets and pots and going. And sure. Is it going to be a girl and a boy? That made it fun. And
yeah.
And so that's just me, though. And what do I know? I'm a guy.
You're an experienced father.
Yeah.
A lot of advice to share.
Yeah, I just think it's more exciting just to, when that baby's born, oh boy, we got a boy. Oh, look, it's a girl, you know?
Right. So yeah. I've had so many people tell me, they're like, this day and age, there's really nothing that is a shock or that can be exciting as far as surprise goes this day and age. That's one of the only things that you can kind of let be an actual surprise. And I was like, that's kind of true.
Yeah, and, you know, and one of the things is, we like to know the gender. That way, when we have our 10th baby shower, these people know what to buy us again or something like that. Come on!
Right.
So,
right.
So,
yes, anyway. There's a lot of ways around that, if that's your concern.
Oh, well, so you guys haven't been too awful busy in the weather room last Friday night and Saturday, probably the most excitement you guys had since tornadoes.
Since October, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was by far, which for me, again, being really, really sick and really, really pregnant, was the biggest blessing in the world. At the same time, my love for meteorology was really hurting because it's been so boring. And then, of course, just the drought that goes along with that has been devastating. But the moisture was great for parts of the area, and having at least some winter weather to talk about was awesome. I worked Saturday morning just to kind of help out, and yeah, it was nice to have something to talk about finally.
Well, I kind of got caught off guard there Friday. We were building fence over here a couple miles west of Elk by the dump, or west of the dump anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, it's 4:30. I got to go feed those two sets of cows down there at Willow, down in the breaks. You've been down there by the Jared's cabin and over there at my place. And went down there, and I was almost too late because that streak of storms was going right through there. And it was raining so hard I had to use the wipers. And I'm like, man, they just rebuilt these roads, and I know I'm going to be in trouble. And it's all I could do to get out of there. And those roads were still wet yesterday.
Really?
Yep. And so, anyway, but hey, I'll take it however it'll come. I don't care if it's a quarter at a time, a tenth of a time, we'll take it. Because did you notice the new drought update last Thursday, the U.S. Drought Monitor?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. There's no bueno out here.
Keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And that severe drought is everywhere.
Yeah. Is La Nina still forecasted to hang in here until March or so?
It's still weak. It's still there and still expected to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, aren't you good? Full of good news.
I know.
Hey, I got a question for you. You said that you worked at that arms deal up there by Billings when you was going to school, right?
I worked for it from campus. But
yeah.
Yes, we did everything remotely. Yep.
Okay. So did you know what they're doing now?
No, I haven't. I haven't followed up.
You remember that question that everybody probably asks you, and you get annoyed because you're a meteorologist, not a climatologist. And does wind towers affect the weather?
Sure.
You know that annoying question?
Yeah, but it's a valid question.
Yeah, it's a valid question. But like you said, you're a meteorologist, not a climatologist.
Right.
Well.
Right.
I got an article from my in-laws, you know, Karen and Bruce, Sandy's mom and dad, up there. They live right by it. And they have started already a 5-year study on how wind towers affect the weather.
That's amazing. I mean, that's very interesting, and I think that should totally be done. I mean, especially what we call on a meso scale, which is really, really small scale. I mean, it has to affect certain wind flows and wind patterns, and how much that would affect the actual weather. I mean, I'd be very curious to know. Those are things that, you know, there's so many of those wind farms now. I don't know that it would have a massive impact, but does it have some small impact? I'm sure it does.
Yeah, because I had a gentleman that told me, so you go north out of Sayre on 283, and you're going north towards Cheyenne, and there's a big wind tower farm there. And he said he popped over the hill about 3 or 4 miles north of Sayre, and it was one of those mornings you thought it might be a lot of moisture in the air, and he could actually physically with his eyes see moisture going over the top of those wind towers.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so anyway, so.
Yeah, there's got to be small-scale effects. I don't know, I may have told you this before, but I took a class when I was at OU. It was called Sustainability of the Plains, and there was research being done, and this was back when I was in college, so not recently. And they...
Two kids later.
They were doing research on prairie chickens and the prairie chicken population in Oklahoma, and they had already found that it was decimating, I don't know about decimating, that may be an exaggeration, but it was hurting the prairie chicken population because prairie chickens don't like being around trees. That's why they're in the prairies.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you put these wind turbines up, they think it's trees, they won't settle down. They don't stay in those places, and it was disrupting their entire lifestyle. Well, and that was just one minor thing, if you want to call it that, or major, depending on how you look at it. But I don't know whatever came of that, but it was definitely impacting at least the prairie chickens in Oklahoma.
Well, I got a little bit of knowledge on that because of our quail forever, because we're into the habitat deal and all that stuff. And, you know, at Pack Saddle, they went up there and put all these little reflectors on the fences because prairie chickens fly right through the fences. So they put these little reflectors on all these fences around there so they could see them and fly over the top of them. But, you know, the prairie chicken was put on the endangered list, you know, that, hey, no hunting, no nothing.
I didn't know that.
And oil field companies were having to build a, you know, if they go out there to build a location, somebody came out and said, you can't build it here. Or if they seen a prairie chicken with their own eyes by building an oil field location or stuff, shut down all operations right then. And so being put on that federal or on the endangered species list for I don't know how many years now, I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head, it has, even with that, nothing has improved with the prairie chicken.
Really?
Yep. They're still around. They used to be a lot right here north of Elk City toward Cheyenne and Roll and Raiden back when I was going to high school, back way before you was even thought of. They used to be some, and now they're just not. But there's some out there in Texas Panhandle and maybe farther north in Oklahoma. I don't know if Pack Saddle's got any or not. They used to have, but yeah, it's something's affected them and something's not. Even with them being put on the protected list, it's not.
Yeah, they're still not thriving.
It's still not thriving. So, you know, and it could be a matter of everything. It could be the weather. Sure. It could be the habitat. It could be this. It could be that. Who knows? I mean, but it's not getting any better.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, so, and now we're trying to figure out what's happening to all the quail, and boy, you get on social media and they'll answer all your questions one way or the other.
No doubt about it.
Well, so you don't see anything in the near future for drought relief?
No.
No.
Nope, not in the near future. In fact, over the next 9 days, I mean, hardly any moisture whatsoever. The little bit of snow that we'll have Thursday is going to still be very, very dry, very, very light. And that's mainly Panhandle far north. And that will be not enough to even be measurable, I don't think.
That little snow we got out here Friday night late. I was still watching a ball game, so I guess it wasn't that late. Man, it came down.
8 or 9, something like that.
Yeah, it came down with a vengeance really quick, and then it was gone.
Yeah, just a little burst. You know?
It was nice, though. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of moisture in that snow, but that rain shower that we got during the night, woke up Saturday morning to ice all over the grass and stuff. It was pretty nice. I'll take anything that Mother Nature will throw at us.
Yeah, in the moisture department.
Yeah, with moisture. Well, yep. I mean, some people around here are lucky they have irrigation. Some people aren't, you know. And it's farming, but, you know. people are, if they ain't already making a decision on the cattle part of it, you know, Western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle and Southern Kansas, they depend a lot on wheat pasture for grazing stockers during the winter, or grazing any cattle for that matter. And there's people already pulling off, and some guys might have to make a decision to sell some cattle whether they want to or not. So it's
being forced.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure that some of the ranchers and farmers have already culled some of their cows, you know, pick the best, keep the best, because going into the spring, if it's not raining, the grass won't be growing too good.
Those decisions are no fun. I can't imagine having to do that for your livelihood.
Yeah.
Always thinking about the farmers. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. Hey, speaking, I know you guys got lots of spare time up there with your schedule and everything. You and Tyler need to take Brooklyn down to the fairgrounds and go see the Cattle Congress. Do you know
that was going on? No, I had no idea.
Oh, well.
Tell me what it is.
All right. You ready? So,
yeah.
Anyway, I talked about it yesterday, but I got friends up there. They got their cattle up there. So, you've heard of the Denver Stock Show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, last year, because of COVID, they didn't have their stock show. Well, people were still wanting to come, but they're still wanting to go somewhere to do a show. And this show's not just FFA and 4-H. These are actually the ranchers and the farmers bringing their herd, their cows, their bulls, whatever, in from their own ranches and showing them. And so you might see Grandpa out there showing a longhorn bull. You never know. So they did it last year and had it at Oklahoma City because the COVID restrictions wasn't as severe as Denver. And they brought $45, $50 million into the economy in Oklahoma City during the COVID.
Wow.
And they had 10,000 plus exhibitors, and we're talking pens of bulls, pens of cows, pens of heifers, just on and on about that. But some of the best cattle in the world are at Oklahoma City Fairgrounds right now.
So they're coming from across the country?
48 states and 3 provinces in Canada.
Whoa, I had no idea. This is why I love talking to you. I had no idea.
Yeah, so, I mean, get on Facebook, look up Cattle Congress, and also their website is amazing. But I'm bragging them up because I want this to stay here because it's huge. It's huge for the
economy. Yeah, got it here. Keep it here.
Yeah, because I'm still PO'd about us losing the national finals a long time ago to Vegas.
Right.
So Denver can just suffer because of Oklahoma City this time. So anyway.
How do you really feel?
Yeah, that's how I really feel. But anyway, yeah, take her down there. It's
she would love it.
Yeah, just take her down there and look up Tyler Norvell. He's also the director of OYE, you know, the Oklahoma Youth Expo, which is the largest FFA and 4-H stock show in the world. He's also in charge of this. Ask for Tyler. Okay. Tell him I sent you, and you and Brooklyn and Tyler will get the, I don't know if there's any first class stuff going on, but at least you'll get the tour.
she would love it.
No,
oh my gosh.
Take her down there.
How long is it going on?
16 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Go down there. It's huge. It will be huge for you to even go down there. And it just, it's crazy.
I see it. That's awesome.
Yeah, because we got people out there from out here up there with their cattle, and they got pens of the most beautiful animals of heifers and bulls you ever seen. I looked on social media yesterday, and they had the Grand Champion Longhorn Bull announced yesterday. And he makes that one the Texas Longhorns have look like a midget.
Okay, so they have them there. They're there mainly to show off, but they're doing types of competitions and things as well.
It's these ranchers and farmers showing their bulls and their cows off, and it kind of helps them with their sales on their farms. Like, hey, this here is a grand champion at the Oklahoma Congress. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Take her down there. I swear you guys will love it.
And, oh, I know we would.
And it's a big deal going on. They got all kinds of things going on down there. 16 days. Well, I'm so glad you're back. Now we know. Now we know what's been wrong with you. Your excuses is that.
Well,
no, I'm kidding you. So
a lot more wrong with me than that.
Anyway, but thank you so much, and have a great day. Rest of the day.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and of course, congratulating me. We're very excited, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, tell Tyler in Brooklyn I said hi.
Will do. Have a good one.
All right, see ya. All right, you've been listening to Lacey Swope, Channel 9 meteorologist. I can't figure out why there's three O's in that word. Why do they need three O's in one word? But anyway, we'll be right back after this.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 20th. 1,427 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 569 brought 148. 3 at 608 brought 138.50. 5 at 632 brought 150. 15 at 649 brought 146. 70 at 800 brought 158. 4 head of heifers at 370 brought 160. 17 at 566 brought 139. 12 at 593 brought 136. 8 at 636 brought 142. 10 at 765 brought 119. Butcher cows were 5 to 85. Butcher bulls 26 to 98. Bred cows 635 to 1685. Pairs brought 1150 to 1685. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It is now 50 degrees and wind chill's 45. The wind's out of the south southwest at 13 miles an hour, gusting up to 17. It's going to have to hurry to get up to 66 today. So anyway, again, congratulations, Lacey Swope, Channel 9 meteorologist. She is going to be a new mommy again in June. So anyway, congratulations. Prices at 11 a.m., cash prices in Oklahoma on grains was hard red winter wheat was $7.63 a bushel. Corn was at $6.02. Milo was at $6.05. Soybeans was $13.16 a bushel. Oats are at $6.90 a bushel. Cotton's at $1.16 a pound. Live cattle was at $1.37. Live hog was at $0.82 a pound. Well, wheat futures were higher in overnight trading after a government report showed crop conditions and soil moisture declined in Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of grain. Winter wheat in Kansas was rated 33% good or excellent as of Sunday, according to the USDA. That's well below the 51% that had received top ratings in a December 13th survey, which was the last time the state's progress report was released. At the same time in 2021, 46% of the crop was rated good or excellent. Top soil moisture was 28% adequate or surplus at the start of this week, down from 37% 3 weeks ago and 57% a year earlier. Subsoil moisture as of Sunday was 35% adequate or surplus, down from 43% on December 13th and 55% a year ago. Drought conditions have spread in the southern plains where hard red winter wheat is at least attempting to overwinter. About 50% of the Kansas was facing drought conditions as of December 28th, and that's up from 33% a week earlier and 15% 3 months earlier. Just over 90% of Oklahoma, the second biggest producer of hard red winter wheat in the U.S., was seeing drought, up from 79% the previous week and 73% 3 months ago. Little or no rain has fallen in most of southwestern Oklahoma and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, including western Oklahoma, in the past 30 days. Well, it's past 60 to 90 now, according to the National Weather Service. Soybeans and corn also rose in overnight trading on worries about dry weather in South America. Crops in southern Brazil were sown in extremely dry soils as farmers waited for rainfall that never arrived, according to the data from the Weather Trend 360. Commodity Weather Group said in the report that up to a quarter of Brazil's soybean crop and half of Paraguay's are at risk or of missing precipitation in the 11 to 15 day outlook. Some weather models are showing a slightly wetter pattern as parts of southern Brazil through midweek. Wheat futures for March delivery rose 3.5 cents to 761.5 cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures gained 7.5 cents to $7.99 a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery added 7.25 to $13.62.75 a bushel. Soy meal dropped $1.80 to $409.50 a short ton, and soy oil, that's how I got that word earlier that I messed up, rose 0.73 cents to 57.15 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery rose 4.5 cents to 593.75 a bushel. Grain and bean inspections fall week to week. Inspections of grains and soybeans fell in the week that ended on December 30th, according to the USDA. The agency inspected 596,092 metric tons of corn for overseas delivery last week. That's down from 954,488 tons the previous week. That's well below the 1.09 million tons assessed during the same week a year earlier. Wheat assessments were reported at 141,816 metric tons, less than half of the 291,000 tons examined a week earlier, and a way big drop from 475,901 tons inspected during the same time frame the previous year. The government inspected 1.19 million metric tons for offshore delivery, down from 1.73 million for the previous week. About 1.76 million tons of soybeans were assessed a year earlier. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the agency has inspected 12.9 million metric tons of corn for export. That's down from 15.2 million during the same time frame last year. Soybean inspections since the beginning of September are now at 30.3 million metric tons, and that's down approximately 9 million tons from a year earlier. Wheat assessments since the start of the grains marketing year on June 1st now stand at 12.1 million metric tons, and that's down from 15 million metric tons same time last year. Well, of course, there's winter weather going on all over the United States. I heard on the radio coming to work this morning, I-95 or 85, whatever that is, in Virginia was shut down. People have been sitting in their cars and trucks up to 24 hours. Whew, they can have that, but I hate it for them. Winter weather advisories, high wind warnings, and wind chill factors have all been issued in parts of the northern U.S. Midwest. Storms are expected in parts of eastern South Dakota starting about 3 o'clock today, with wind chill advisories going into effect at 9 o'clock tonight. Total snow accumulations will only be about an inch in the area, but winds will gust as high as 55 miles an hour. Wind chills will fall to minus 30 and below. In eastern Iowa and northern Illinois, a winter advisory will be in effect at 9 p.m., That's tonight, because of blowing snow and strong winds. Winds will be sustained from 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 45. Wind chills are expected in Iowa to be minus 20 and below. Well, there you have it. Well, when I get back, I'm going to talk to you about Dr. Taylor Mouse and the Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic. Today is their cap day. If you're watching on Facebook, I got their cap on. They're my cap sponsor for today, so we'll talk about them when I get back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
51 degrees, wind out of the south, 12 miles an hour, gusting up to a whopping 16 miles an hour. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine, embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, and their unloading is really easy. It pull around back, pull through the deal, shut the gate, open the gate, shut the gates back, and boom, you're gone. Been there, done that. A brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated floor, heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor, outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also, she schedules farm calls, and she provides 24-hour emergency service for all species. And that's a great deal, because I got 35 heifers getting ready to start calving here pretty pronto, and she will be my go-to person on those heifers. So, call 580-225-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. And can I have an amen? They do care. Well, as you guys know, today is Hay Day Tuesdays, one of my favorite days, and they've got all kinds of stuff going on with the hay markets here. So let's start with the alfalfa, and let's pick Kansas Premium Alfalfa. 180 to 400 delivered, and good is 130 to 250, and fair is 120 delivered to 185. Missouri, 160 to 250 on premium, 120 to 160 on good, 100 to 125 on fair. Oklahoma, doesn't look like much has changed. Here we go. There's six again on this thing report. I need to call these people. Who in the heck sells their hay for $176 a ton? 185 to 190 on premium, 130 to 176 on good, and 148 on fair. And then in Texas, we got 250 to 325 both delivered on premium, 225 to 260 delivered on good, and 175 on fair delivered. And there's your alfalfa. Grass hay prices, looks like the grass prices are coming up slightly. Kansas, 125 to 140 on premium, 70 to 185, both of those delivered on good. Oklahoma, 90 to 140, 75 to 85 on good, and nothing available on fair. And then in Texas, we got 160 to 330 on premium grass, 120 to 275 on good, and 120 to 235 on fair. So anyway, well, here's some comparisons for your hay. So let's pick, let's go to Oklahoma here. So alfalfa hay in November of 2020 was $171 a ton. In October of 2021, it was $175. In November of 2021, it's still $175. So over the last 2 years, not a lot of difference in alfalfa hay in Oklahoma. But in other hay category, which could be anything, grass, sorghum, wheat, rye, whatever hay, in November of 2020, hay was $111 a ton. October was $90 of this year, or I'm sorry, 2021, and it was $90 of 2021. So the hay prices on other hay, according to this report, is gone down. And I really don't think that's the case in our listening area, whether you're over here in Wheeler County or Collinsworth or around here in Beckham, Kiowa, or anything. I think hay is actually going up a little bit around our area. Well, in Texas, alfalfa hay was at $214 a ton on the average in November of 2020. And in October of 2021, it was $212, down a couple dollars. And in November of 2021, it was down to $202. So it's slightly down. But other hay in Texas, $142 in November of 2020, $142 a ton. But in October of 2021, other hay was at $148 a ton. And in November, it was $148 a ton. So its other hay has slightly gone up in the Texas panhandle there. Anyway, so my hay report here on alfalfa. Nothing lasts forever. The string of 11 consecutive months with month-over-month alfalfa price gains has come to an end. The November alfalfa price dropped $3 to $210 a ton, which was still $46 per ton higher than a year ago. The record string of positive gains began in November of 2020, with alfalfa averaging $167 a ton and ended in October of 2021 at $213 a ton. Time will tell if the lower November price is a temporary setback or if the ceiling has been set. The average price for Supreme and Premium alfalfa has dropped $1 a ton to $246 a ton, still $46 higher than it was a year ago. Five states in the United States registered double-digit month-over-month alfalfa price gains in November. Leading the group was Wisconsin, posting $17 per ton improvement. The next highest jump was Wyoming with plus 15, and Iowa is at plus 11. Only two states posted double-digit price declines. Oklahoma didn't make this comment, but we're right in the middle of these two. These were Kansas and Texas, were both down $10 per ton. The highest average alfalfa prices was reported in Oregon at $255 per ton, Utah $250, Montana $235. Both New Mexico and Washington were both at $230. And those are the states that are in the severe extreme, whatever that dark brown is, D4 on the drought monitor. These states are in it, and that's probably telling you the reason why them high prices there. The lowest alfalfa hay prices were posted in Nebraska and Missouri, both at $160 per ton. Keep in mind, the USDA average prices accounts for all quantities of hay sold. Also, the final U.S. estimate is a volume-weighted average rather than a simple average of state values. Anyway, there we go. I'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, you guys remember I'm streaming live on Facebook, streaming live on our Paragon app that you can download on your phone for free. Also, I'm live on the radio, if any of you guys hadn't noticed yet. But anyway, I'm live on the radio. You can listen to my show on KCOFM.com. Listen to any of my shows on KCOFM.com. Put her in there and get after it. And our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, it's got its ups and downs. So it's 51 degrees currently right now with south-southwest winds, 12 gusting to 16. It's gonna have to hurry to get to 66, but 66 is the forecast high today. Tonight gonna be a little airish, 26 degrees. Tomorrow a little cooler, 47 degrees. Tomorrow night cold, 12 degrees for a low. Thursday cold, 28. Thursday night cold, low will be 14. And starts warming back up Friday. You guys thought I was going to say cold again, didn't you? 46 degrees for a high Friday. Doesn't even look like Friday night's going to barely get down to freezing. And then Saturday, 67 degrees. How wonderful is that? Anyway, be warm right back up. Well, you guys, yesterday at the end of the show, I was talking about Massachusetts in their little pork bill that they passed, and then they decided to delay it because they thought they might run out of food. Well, here's the story on California. Those people out there. More than 3 years ago, California voters approved Proposition number 12, guaranteeing sows, veal calves, and egg-laying hens more room to move about and barring the sale of eggs, veal, and pork from farms even in other states that do not comply with the new standards. The law went into effect Sunday, although state officials were still working on final set of regulations. Go imagine that. Remember that marijuana law we got passed here in Oklahoma? It's been working out for those guys that legally do it, but looks like out there in the country, it's a little different story. But anyway, before we go any further, how is California going to know if somebody raising hogs in Oklahoma has enough room? Are they going to send somebody out there? Are you going to FaceTime them? What are you going to do? How are we going to figure this out? It's the stupidest crap I ever heard. But anyway, that's just my opinion. We don't know what to expect, said a meat industry spokeswoman ahead of the weekend implication. A few companies have announced they will pull certain products from California markets. Lawmakers out on the East Coast there in Boston worried about potential pork shortages, so they decided in December to delay it till August 15th. But what about those crowded pigs? What are they going to do till August 15th? This is stupid as crap. I'm sorry. A similar set of rules for hog farms and the sale of pork products in their state. The California Department of Food and Agriculture said it lacked authority to delay the compliance deadline. Its Animal Care Program, ACP, created to implement Proposition Number 12, said on December 23rd it was focused for helping stakeholders meet the deadlines outlined in Proposition 12, including the requirements for egg-laying hens and breeding pigs that go into effect January 1st, which was last weekend, 2022. Eggs and pork already in inventory or commerce before the end of 2021 will still be legal to sell in California, said the ACP. It's your responsibility to only source Prop 12 compliant shell eggs, liquid eggs, veal, and pork meat for commercial sale in California. The Supreme Court could decide this week whether to hear a challenge to Proposition 12 by two farm groups, the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Pork Producers Council. Estimates on the impact on consumers vary from increased pork cost of $10 per person per year to 60% increase in prices and if half as much pork as usual were available. Proposition 12 requires hog farmers to provide 24 square feet of space for each sow, except for a few days before they give birth and for 3 weeks afterwards until the piglets are weaned. Almost all the pork sold in California is raised in other states. This is what I was getting at. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, Proposition 12 is the strongest law in the world addressing farm animal confinement, said the Humane Society of the United States. There you go. That answers my question. Well, as you guys know, yesterday, President Biden, in the first week of 2022, the U.S. meat and poultry industry is in the spotlight with the White House releasing an action plan to create a fair, more competitive, and more resilient meat and poultry supply chain. Per a White House press release, in July, President Biden signed an executive order on promoting competition in the American economy to create a fairer, more resilient, and more dynamic economy. The meat and poultry processing sector is a textbook example with a lack of competition hurting consumers, producers, and our economy. Four large meat packing companies control 85% of the beef market. In poultry, the top four processing firms control 54% of the market, and in pork, the top four processing firms control 70% of the market. There you go. When dominant middlemen control so much of the supply chain, they can increase their own profits at the expense of both farmers and who make less and consumers who pay more. Most farmers now have little or no choice of buyer for their product and a little leverage to negotiate, causing their share of every dollar spent on the food to decline. So, starting, President Biden wants to expand independent processing capacity and support workers and the independent processor industry. Increase transparency in cattle markets. Issue new, stronger rules under the Packers and Stockyards Act. Issue new product of the United States labeling rules so the consumers can better understand where their meat comes from. There you have it. That all happened yesterday. President Biden and Vice President Harris got into the cattle business yesterday, so we'll see how this all works out. I hope it works out good because we need it, but I don't know this is the answer to it. So anyway, all we can do is hope. Tomorrow, I got a great show. Kent Watkins will be on here on the first two segments, and Brandon Hickey from Elk City Livestock Auction and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be in here for the last half. So we got a full show tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. All kinds of things going on with soil and cattle. Have a great day. God bless. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.